The peppered moth now. It's a major icon of evolution. They use this. In the new guide to science, Isaac Asimov used it as his sole evidence. Until recently, most biology textbooks used the peppered moth as evidence for evolution. Prentice Hall. Who used Prentice Hall growing up? Anybody? I remember using those books growing up. All you guys? All right. That's what I remember. The science books that I had were Prentice Hall. It's been called evolution's prize horse and the slam dunk of natural selection. That's what they call it. It's just, all right, we'll get into it here. During the 1800s, there were two kinds of peppered moths in England, light-colored and dark-colored. During the Industrial Revolution, factory pollution killed the lichen on trees. I think that's how you say that. Lichen, it might be. The lichen on trees so that the trees became darker in color. Lichen is a vegetative organism that grows on some trees. It covers the tree's bark. If it dies, the dark bark is visible. At the time, the number of dark moths increased. This was said to be because the light moths were easier to see against the tree trunks, so birds ate them first, and the dark moths survived. The simple change in the number of light and dark moths is supposed to prove that evolution occurs. So that's evolution. Okay, just real quick, and it's going to mention it in this, but just observation-wise, what do we notice about these two pictures, these two creatures here? Because they're using this to prove evolution, so what does it prove evolution? Why? What is that? Amen. Same kind, they're still moths. They're still moths. Nothing's changed. It's the information they already have within them, but they haven't changed from one kind to another. They're still moths. But this is their slam dunk right here. Okay, this is the stuff they use. And if you don't think critically, if you don't look at it and say, wait a minute, let me step back from what my teacher's telling me here, and let me think about this first. So there's a change happened. So again, that's why we start off kind of defining the different types of evolution. Okay, because this is microevolution. And I don't even like using the terms, but this is what they use. So they'll say, well, evolution happens. Yeah, microevolution, that's changes within a kind. This is not macroevolution, and that's what we're fighting against. That's what we're standing against, is macroevolution changing from one kind to another. You know, a dog turning into a whale or vice versa, and a monkey turning into a man. That's what we're standing against. There's no evidence whatsoever to back that up. None. The slam dunk evidence they have is just changes within a kind. I mean, that's like, you know, grabbing a pit bull and a German shepherd and saying, see, this is evolution. But if you ask a four-year-old, what are these? The four-year-old's going to say, oh, those are dogs. That's a dog puppy. Yeah, because it's still what it is. It hasn't changed from one thing to another. It's a dog. And that's all this is. So we have to think critically. And I'm not saying we have a bad attitude, especially you kids in school don't have a bad attitude with your teachers, you know, where you're just like trying to just stick them with something and get them. But have a good attitude, but you can say, wait a minute, aren't those still moths? I mean, raise your hand in class and say, I have a question for you. Are they still moths? I mean, do it with the right attitude, though. But get them to think and let other kids know that, wait a minute, that hasn't changed from one kind to another. I mean, be willing to speak up for that. They're still moths, okay? All right, this is supposed to demonstrate the power of natural selection or survival of the fittest. All right, there you see, you know, there's the white one, brown one, okay? You can't see it as well. All right, the dark-colored moth was even given a new name, Bison Betularia carbonaria, because it was supposed to be a new subspecies. All right. The original research into the peppered moths was done by Bernard Kettlewell, who quit his medical practice with an agenda to prove evolution. Look, when someone wants to, they're going to quit the job that they're doing in order to prove evolution, they have a disregard and hatred towards God. That they want to shut this down. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's what it boils down to. Say, oh, no, that's not it. Yeah, that's exactly what it boils down to. Get God out of the way. I can do what I want with guilt free. In March 1959, edition of Scientific America, Kettlewell proclaimed that he had discovered Darwin's missing evidence. All right. This shows that evidence for Darwinism was still missing 100 years after the published On the Origin of Species that Darwin put out. Still 100 years later, they're waiting for that evidence. He published two photos that became major icons of evolution right here. Anybody ever seen that before? Most of us have probably seen that. The photos showed peppered moths resting on a tree trunk. One tree trunk is dark colored and the dark moth is difficult to see. You can still see it, but it's more difficult, obviously, than the light one. The other tree trunk is light colored and the light moth is difficult to see. It took me a while to even find it. It's right here. I'm going to try and outline it for you, okay? There's its head, wing, coming like this. It's hard to see. And obviously there's a black one. Did you see it? I had to sit there and like stare at it and try and find it. I'm like, where is this thing? Okay, it was harder to see, obviously. So the peppered moth. Moths are still moths. Amen. And the evidence was doctored. They wouldn't do that, would they? They wouldn't do that to purposely deceive people, would they? Moths are still moths. Adaptation of a species to its environment and variety within a species is not evidence for Darwinian evolution. So the adaptation of a species to its environment and variety within that species is not evidence for evolution. Creationists believe in change and variety within types of creatures. The 400 types of dog are an example. I mean, just look at the difference of the ones pictured there. A big difference, but they're all still dogs. I mean, nothing's changed as far as that goes. The peppered moth is still a moth. It's still a peppered moth. There were light and dark peppered moths to start with. Nothing evolved. I mean, that's like saying light-skinned colored people and dark-skinned colored people. Well, it's evolution. You know, you're different. No, we're still humans. I mean, this is the foolishness that they push as their slam-dunk evidence. Different varieties of a creature, such as different colors of the peppered moth, do not prove that a dinosaur can become a bird or a wolf can become a whale. The variety within creatures is evidence of God's character. It shows His great wisdom, His love of variety. It shows His foreknowledge to give creatures the ability to adapt to changing environments on a fallen earth. Subsequent studies have debunked the correlation between pollution and the change in moth color. Look, just give... When science proclaims something emphatically, just give it a while, especially if it opposes the Bible and what the Bible says. Give it a while, it'll be thrown out in the garbage heap. I mean, I think it was 2015 or 2016, according to Al Gore, we're all supposed to be underwater because the polar ice caps were supposed to melt. And that was science, okay? When I worked for the city of Albuquerque in 2005, I think it was, maybe 2006, Mayor Marty Chavez required that every employee go and watch that foolish documentary that Al Gore put out. What was it called? Does anybody remember? Oh man, it was Pushing Evolution. Or not evolution, an Inconvenient Truth. Is that it? Or a Convenient Truth? An Inconvenient Truth. They had every city employee go watch that. And it was just garbage, but that's what they're putting out. And now, where is it? I mean, well, they had to change it from global warming to climate change because the facts didn't back up global warming. So, oh, it's climate change now. But what they said in that documentary, so-called, was that by this time, you know, we're all supposed to be underwater, or a great majority. I mean, they put the scare out there so that people would buy into it. And I mean, it even started pushing things, and they're probably still pushing it through. I haven't looked at it recently, but a carbon tax. You know, oh, your carbon footprint. What's your carbon footprint? Carbon dioxide. Stop breathing. You're putting, you know, carbon into the air. Like, well, we have trees. You know, God made it all to work. They breathe our carbon dioxide. We breathe the oxygen they put off. It works pretty good. But they've gotten a lot of people to fall for the lie based on faulty evidence. All right, studies have demonstrated that pollution and tree lichens are not always correlated with a greater proportion of darker moths. So it doesn't even fit up with what they're trying to say. In one place, for example, the number of darker moths increased after pollution decreased. Well, isn't that the opposite of what they were saying? The evidence that they used to prove it? That is the opposite. It's the opposite of what should happen if natural selection is true. The evidence was doctored. Research has proven that the peppered moth doesn't usually rest on tree trunks. Huh. So then how are they all being eaten if they don't usually even rest on tree trunks? The famous photographs were faked by gluing moths to a tree. What? Why would they do that? Why does all this stuff come out afterwards, yet this stuff is still pushed? These photos are still used to prove this stuff. They're still out there. So are they intellectually honest? These scientists that are trying to push evolution, are they even intellectually honest? When they'll use stuff like this that they know is false, and many of them do. I'm not saying all of them. There's some that have integrity and say, no, that's not true. But there's some that don't. Finnish zoologist Kari Mikkola found that the normal resting place of a peppered moth is beneath small branches. In decades of field work, he and his colleagues found only one moth naturally perched on a tree trunk. Decades. In fact, the original researchers knew that the moths don't rest on tree trunks. In 25 years, we have only found two Betularia on the tree trunks or walls adjacent to our traps. Cyril Clark, a close friend of Kettle Wells. So even in the original study, they knew that wasn't true. Jonathan Wells debunked the peppered moth in Icons of Evolution. Wells has a PhD in religion from Yale University, PhD in cell biology from University of California, yet he has been treated like a fool by evolutionists for daring to challenge their beloved doctrine. Blackballing him, blacklisting him. Yet they haven't been able to refute him, and they have been forced to change their textbooks. In 2003, Judith Hooper debunked the peppered moth icon in her book, Moths and Men. Though she is an evolutionist, at least she's honest, she has been treated roughly by the evolutionary establishment for daring to challenge the doctrine of evolution. All right, let me go to the next one. All right, the embryo chart. How many have seen this thing? Anybody seen this? Okay, probably most of us. Let me play the actual slideshow, though. The embryo chart. Charles Darwin taught that evolution is repeated in the womb. How many ever heard that? Evolution's repeated in the womb. I've heard that. You go through the cycle of evolution as the baby grows. Okay, embryology rises greatly in interest when we thus look at the embryos as a picture of the common parent form of each great class of animals. The idea was popularized by the embryo chart developed by Ernest Haeckel, a disciple of Charles Darwin in Germany. It's based on Haeckel's law of recapitulation, or biogenetic law. He taught that the human embryo repeats its evolutionary cycle as it grows in the womb. So it just goes through exactly how it evolved through the womb. Thus, the embryo supposedly possesses from a single cell, or progresses from a single cell to a fish, to an amphibian, to a reptile, to a mammal, to an ape, to a human. So that's what it's going to go through, okay? I didn't see the rock in there, though. They didn't have the rock. All right. Okay, Haeckel summarized this law with the saying, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Ontogeny refers to the growth of the embryo, while phylogeny refers to evolution. He taught that the human embryo goes through a stage in which it has gills like a fish and a tail like an ape. So this is what it goes through. This is a process. Okay, the influence of the embryo chart has been incalculable. I mean, there's no telling, as people have bought into this, looking at this chart right here. Carl Werner, MD, encountered it during medical training. These drawings were extremely compelling to me, especially the fact, okay, in quotes, that humans had gills and a tail. After this lecture, I found myself rapidly accepting evolution. Look, man, I'm telling you, look, this guy's going for his, you know, his PhD, his doctorate, and this is the stuff that's used to teach him that this is truth, that evolution is true. And it's absolutely false. We're going to see that this chart is absolutely false. But it's used to indoctrinate how many people? How many evolutionists today because they were taught this false teaching, which has been proven false. But it was used to bolster their faith in evolution. But it's false. Only the Lord knows how many people have been convinced of the truth of evolution and have rejected the Bible on the basis of lying evolutionary icons. The myth that the baby goes through evolutionary stages was even used by Benjamin Spock in his famous book on child care. Anybody ever heard of Benjamin Spock? Okay, you could throw his stuff in the garbage. I mean, he helped to ruin, you know. When did he come out? 1957. A whole generation of children, so many people were falling for his parenting, which is opposed to what the Bible teaches. Okay, this is, you know, pretty much the whole don't spank your child, put him in time out and things like that. It's actually getting away from the Bible. I'm not saying time out's not maybe necessary sometimes, but it was anti-Bible. A baby starts off in the womb as a single tiny cell, just the way the first living thing appeared in the ocean. Weeks later, he has gills like a fish. Baby in Childcare, 1957. That's his book. The embryo chart. It was exposed as a fraud in Haeckel's day. So it was known to be a fraud then, yet it's still put in textbooks, okay? So they don't care if it's truth, they just want to push their agenda, is what that should tell us. The human embryo has no gill slits. The only evidence is the assumption of evolution. So instead of looking at the facts and let the facts determine what it's going to be, well, first off, we have false facts, so we're not even looking at facts. Okay, but instead of looking at the facts and letting those determine what it's going to be, I go in with my preconceived notion and I read that into whatever I find. Okay, that's what they're doing. Haeckel's law is still taught, though it has been debunked. Haeckel's law was used to justify the murder of unborn children. Not much has changed, has it? And just to point this out, it says right there, murder. Okay, that hasn't changed. You know, I'm not going to try and hurt anyone's feelings with this statement I'm going to make. Maybe there's someone in here who has an abortion. But look, it's murder. It's murder. Okay, if you've known someone that's had an abortion, it's murder. It's not child care or, you know, a woman's right. It's murder. That's what it is. And the doctors, the mom, we look at this thing that just happened this last week. We say, how could a mother do that to her child? How could a mother allow that to happen to her child? And rightly so. How could a mother allow that to happen to her child? Well, how could a mother voluntarily go in and ask a doctor to rip my baby to pieces and pull it out of me? How could a mother do that? It's murder. There's no soft way to put that. That's just what it is. But look, even Christianity has wanted to step away from saying that's the case. I mean, look at how much flack. I forget which presidential candidate. Maybe it was Trump. It might have been him. He gets something right every once in a while. Broken clock's right twice a day. Okay. All right. Maybe I shouldn't have said that anyway. That's okay. But I think it was him that said, you know, that it's murder and maybe the mother should be brought up on charges if they, you know, have an abortion. Because that's exactly what it is. They're taking the life of their child. And that might not be so popular for us to say today, but why did we ever get away from standing for the truth and what it is? It's murder. It was exposed as a fraud in Haeckel's day. Ludwig Rudemeyer, professor at the University of Basel, called the drawings a sin against scientific truthfulness. Haeckel used the same embryo multiple times to depict the supposed stages of the turtle, dog, pig, cow, and rabbit. I mean, he just used the same one. Instead of using drawings of actual embryos, so instead of being honest, Haeckel repeated the human embryo while modifying it a little. By this technique, he made the embryos look much more similar than they really are. So he's doctoring all these up. He's just making them to look like what he wants and just slightly changing them. Look, a good artist can make you believe almost anything. I mean, we saw those pictures, if you remember, you know, how the dinosaur turned to a bird, right? And it's chasing that bug, right? The dragonfly or whatever it was. And you can see each one. Man, there's a good artist there drawing as this thing's just slowly turning into a bird so it can catch this bug that's flying away from it, right? Good art will deceive you, especially from a young age when you see it. And then you watch PBS and it's indoctrinating you to millions of years and all this evolutionary thinking as well. And it just right down the line, indoctrinating you all the way up from the time you're 1, 2 years old, all the way through college. And churches haven't said anything about it, haven't even known what to say many times, and just kind of just stand here, and just love Jesus. Yes, love Jesus, amen, but let's get some answers for this. How do we earnestly contend for the faith? How do we stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints? We have to know how. We have to have some knowledge. So the turtle, you could see right here is the turtle. You could see its little shell. Okay, so it made them look more similar than they really are. Here's a pig, cow, rabbit, human. So look at how similar it seems to make all of them look. Look, we're all really connected is what it's saying. They're just slight changes. I mean, look at these two look almost exactly the same. You know, they just maybe change this right here just slightly. And then look here, us with the rabbit and the human almost look the same. I mean, they're doctoring these up. Look at how similar all of these look. The slope coming off the forehead, and even with us, and we have like a nose almost coming out like they do. I mean, doctored pictures. Haeckel mislabeled embryos. He changed the size of embryos. He deleted parts, added parts, changed parts. For his embryo of a man in the fish stage, he either removed or doctored more than half of the embryo's organs. Why? Because the actual evidence didn't fit with what he was trying to, the agenda he was trying to push. He was convicted of fraud at a university tribunal. In his confession, he claimed that the error was made by his artist. But in fact, he was the artist. That's convenient, isn't it? Wilhelm Hiss, senior professor of anatomy at the University of Leipzig, also proved that Haeckel had doctored his embryo charts. So there's more than one person proving it, that they're false. In spite of this, he continued as a professor at the University of Jena and continued to publish his embryo chart. So it was proven it was a fraud. He went up on trial before the university, and he still continued working at another university and kept publishing this embryo chart as truth, even though he knew it was false. This man's a liar and a deceiver. Why? Because he hates God. Haeckel also doctored his ape to man chart by making the apes look more human and the humans look more like, more ape-like. So, I mean, here it is. Look, maybe, you know, these might look familiar, but we start getting down here. What is this? Where have these ever anywhere been found? Anything like this? And even these things, what are these? They change their ears so much. And I mean, where does all this come from? And then look, here's the process, you know, so it goes like this. You know, here's how it's going. Cross here. Now look, what does this look like? What are these 1, 2, 3, 4? What do they make them look like? Somebody say it, it's all right. Like a black person, right? They make them look like a black person. Why? Because evolution teaches that they're lower down on the rung. They're almost like animals. So since I'd use an ox as to serve me and to do what I needed it to do, why not have a black person as a slave? That's what it is. You think all that came from evolution. I mean, there's been slavery forever, but I mean, this right here in this country was helped propelled forward by evolution. And then look, as we go farther up the chart, my goodness, it's like something changed, right? They're blacks down here, but we get farther up, and what do they? They appear to look more and more European, don't they? That's what's happening. Well, where did Hitler get his ideology from then? That they're the superior race. Where did he get it from? See, there's actual consequences to beliefs. Well, people believe there's actual real-life consequences. How many people died as a result of World War II? I think it's upwards of 50 million, right? 60 million, isn't it? You count everyone? Because they were the superior race. Supposedly based on evolution. And if evolution's true, then why not? Why isn't there a superior race since we just keep getting better and better? Well, which one is it? Well, the Germans thought it was them, the Aryan race. It's not even a race. It's not even a thing. It's made up. We're the human race. We're all of one blood. That's it. We all have one parent, Adam and Eve, or two parents, Adam and Eve. We all come from them. Every one of us. Every single one of us. There are no apes that look like this, though. I mean, they look similar, but there's really no apes that look like that. I mean, you could tell that kind of looks like a monkey. I mean, you get it. You see it. But there's none that look like it. Haeckel, like most early Darwinists, was a racist. He depicted a black man sitting in a tree because he considered blacks to be a lower race. So there, you got these monkeys, and then, well, oh, lo and behold, there's a black man in there. Why? Because they're a lower race. Haeckel's hoax was exposed in 1915 in Haeckel's Frauds and Forgeries by Joseph Asmuth and Ernest Hull. Haeckel's fraud was exposed again in the 90s by a scientific team led by Michael Richardson, embryologist at St. George's Hospital Medical School in London. An international team of scientists photographed embryos of 39 different species. Richardson called it one of the worst cases of scientific fraud, but it's still used. What Haeckel did was to take a human embryo and copy it, pretending that the salamander and the pig and the others look the same at the same stage of development. They don't. These are fakes. Michael Richardson, The Times, August 11th, 1997. Haeckel's oldest fish image is made up of bits and pieces from different animals, some of them mythical. The human embryo has no gill slits, all right? Evolutionary history. Here's the gill slits. Look, a bird, okay, right there. Human. There's the gill slits. You can see them, obviously. And look, and a tail, too. Okay? Haeckel taught that the area of the embryo below the head are gill slits that come from evolution from the fish. So there's our fish stage right there is what they're saying. This was disproven even in Haeckel's day by professors at the University of Jena where he worked and kept his job. The so-called gill slits are really wrinkles in the throat region. This body tissue becomes the palatine, tonsils, middle ear canal, parathyroid gland, and thymus. Dr. Alan Gillen, Body by Design. It's disproven. It's not gill slits. We don't have gill slits. So just tell them. Those develop. I mean, if someone brings this up, because I promise you, people will still bring this stuff up if you start talking, discussing these things with them, and they buy into evolution. They're, well, what about our gill slits? Say, those aren't gill slits. Those develop into other pieces of our body as we grow. They're merely inward folds or wrinkles in the neck region resulting from the sharply downturned head and protruding heart of the developing embryo, Dr. Alan Gillen. And it's showing you what they turn into, the ear, you know, part of your face and whatnot. Okay, the only evidence for evolution in the embryo chart is the assumption. Excuse me, the assumption of evolution. That's the only evidence for it, okay, is you have to assume it. Even if the embryos of the creatures did look similar, this would not prove that they evolved. It would as easily mean that God created them this way. It's still no proof of it. Okay, none whatsoever. This is why we have to think critically. Don't just accept everything that's thrown out at you. Think critically of it. What does it actually mean? Okay, even if they are similar, does it mean that they've evolved, or does it just mean maybe the Creator designed them that way? But they're not similar anyway. The embryo chart is an exercise in circular reasoning. The evolutionist believes that evolution has happened, so he interprets the evidence in that light. Consider the following statement. In their early stages of development, chickens, turtles, and rats look similar, providing evidence that they shared a common ancestry. No proof, it's just, hey, this is evidence that it does. Really? How? How does that prove it? Does it prove it? No, it doesn't. It's just, okay, maybe they look similar. Okay? But it doesn't prove anything. Remove the assumption that evolution happened and the evidence disappears. The same is true for the fossil record. The fossil record gives no evidence that all creatures evolved from a simple life form. One must read this preconceived interpretation into the record. Haeckel's law is still taught. The 2006 documentary Flock of Dodos by Randy Olson implies that Jonathan Wells lied in saying that the embryo chart appeared in many modern textbooks. It shows someone flipping through a textbook unable to find the diagrams. Olson only found a 1914 textbook with the chart. I have taught junior high science for over 35 years. Every textbook from every major publisher I have ever seen has had Haeckel's embryo pictures, and the text usually claims this is a proof for evolution, taken from creation.com. So for 35 years, every textbook from every major publisher I have ever seen has had those pictures. I've seen it too, growing up. I've seen those same pictures. We know they're wrong, but they put them in the textbooks anyway. Marrow Biology Textbook, 1991. The embryos of vertebrate animals resemble each other closely in early stages of development. It would seem that all these animals received from remote common ancestors sets of genes that control development for a time. And what do you know? Lo and behold, there's those same pictures we've been looking at. Prentice Hall Biology, 2002. In their early stages of development, chickens, turtles, and rats look similar, providing evidence that they shared a common ancestry. New Integrated Science, Grade 9, Nepal, 2014. How's that? Figure 21.4, embryos in their different stages of development. Isn't that what we've been looking at? And that's the same thing we've been looking at. There they are. Modern Graded Science, Grade 9, Nepal, 2014. And there we see it again, just another example of it. While some have tried to downplay the significance of the widespread use of the embryo drawings, Stephen Jay Gould, one of the most influential evolutionists, admitted that it was shameful. We do, I think, have the right to be both astonished and ashamed by the century of mindless recycling that has led to the persistence of these drawings in a large number, if not a majority, of modern textbooks. Natural History, March of 2000. All right, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up with this next week. Haeckel's law has justified the murder of unborn children.